them. "But that rat-catcher said he made one," said Keith firmly. "He said he did it to get into the guild. Do you know what a masterpiece is?" "Of course, it's anything really good. I mean, a real masterpiece," said Keith. "I grew up in a big city with guilds everywhere. That's how I know. A masterpiece is something that an apprentice makes at the end of his training to show the senior members of the guild that he deserves to be a master, a full member. You understand? It might be a great symphony, or a beautiful piece of carving, or a batch of magnificent loaves. His masterpiece."
"Very interesting. So?"
"So, what sort of masterpiece would you have to make to become a master rat catcher? To show that you could really control rats. Remember the sign over the door?"
Melissa frowned the frown of someone faced with an inconvenient fact.
"Anyone could tie a bunch of rats' tails together, if they wanted to," she said. "I'm sure I could."
"While they're still alive? You'd have to trap them first, and then you've got slippery bits of string that are moving all the time, and the other end keeps on biting you. 8 of them? 20 of them? 32 angry rats."
Melissa looked around at the untidy shed, trying out the idea.
"It works," she said. "Yes, it makes almost as good a story. Probably there were 1 or 2 real rat kings. All right, maybe just 1. And people heard about this and decided that since there was all this interest, they'd try to make one. Yes, it's just like crop circles. No matter how many aliens own up to making them, there are always a few diehards who believe that humans go out with garden rollers in the middle of the night."
"I just think that some people like to be cruel," said Keith. "How would a rat king hunt? They'd all pull in different directions."
"Ah, well, some of the stories about rat kings say that they can control other rats," said Melissa, "with their minds, sort of. Get them to bring them food and go to different places and so on. You're right, rat kings can't move around easily, so they learn how to see out of the eyes of other rats and hear what they hear."
"Just other rats," said Keith.
"Well, 1 or 2 do say that they can do it to people," said Melissa.
"How? Has it ever happened, really?"
"It couldn't, could it?" said Melissa.
"Yes."
"Yes, what?" said Melissa.
"I didn't say anything. You just said yes," said Keith.
"Silly little minds. Sooner or later, there is always a way in. The cat is much better at resisting. You will obey me. Let the rats go."
"I think we should let the rats go," said Melissa. "It's just too cruel having them packed into those cages like that."
"I was just thinking that," said Keith.
"And forget about me. I am just a story."
"Personally, I think rat kings really are just a story," said Melissa, walking over to the trap door and raising it. "That rat catcher was a stupid little man. He was just babbling."
"I wonder if we really should let the rats out," Keith mused. "They looked pretty hungry."
"They can't be worse than the rat catchers, can they?" said Melissa. "Anyway, the piper will be here soon. He'd lead them all into the river or something."
"Into the river," muttered Keith.
"That's what he does, yes. Everyone knows that."
"Oh, yes. But rats can..." Keith began.
"Obey me. Don't think. Follow the story."
"Rats can what?"
Rats can...
Keith stammered.
"I can't remember. Something about rats and rivers. Probably not important."
Thick, deep darkness. And somewhere in it, a little voice.
"I dropped Mr. Bunsey," said Peaches.
"Good," said Dangerous Beans. "It was just a lie. Lies drag us down."
"You said it was important."
"It was a lie."
Endless, dripping darkness.
"And I've lost the rules, too."
"So